Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
So on tonight's show, what we're going to be doing is this year's March Madness, and this year it's going to be Marvel Movie March Madness. So we're going to look at the best movies, or we're going to have all the Marvel movies, the MCU movies, and I've added a couple of movies from Sony and Fox, too, which I felt were the best ones. So we have 32 combatants. So tonight we're going to do the first 16, and those winners will go on, and not next round, but we're going to do the next 16 next week. Anyway, we'll do it right, is what I'm trying to say.
You have your bag of movies?
Yeah, I have my bowl of movies put together. And we definitely get some good ones. And we're going to, you know, have two movies compete against one another, and we're going to decide which one is the better one, and the winner will move on to face an even better movie, potentially. We're also going to be discussing the latest videos that we've seen about the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser that is now officially open at, it's not really at Hollywood Studios. It's around there anyway. It's in Disney World. But first, I had a question for you guys. I actually was watching Superman the movie, and again, it's really good. It holds up. It's one of the best superhero movies ever. But Fedra, did you see Superman the movie?
Like the newest ones?
No, Superman the movie with Christopher Reeve.
Like the original.
Oh, yeah. That's the only one. Yeah. For me, at least.
And I know Jack has seen it multiple times, I assume.
Yes, and it's the Superman March is my favorite piece of music.
Yes, I agree with that one. I've seen it probably about 50 times, and I would say a lot of fans of the movie probably think that's low. I'm sure people have seen it hundreds of times, but it is very good. Anyway, so my question for you, I've watched this multiple times, and I never really sat down and thought very deeply about it. But at the end of the movie, when Superman reverses time, like he spins the Earth the other way, what happens to those missiles? Can you tell me?
Well, I think one of them reverses track, but there's two of them. The one he pushes out of space should be a time paradox, because once it leaves the rotation of the Earth,
that's a good point. Yeah,
it kind of just keeps going. It's not pulled back by the Earth reversing, so it's kind of like a time paradox that there's a nuclear missile just sort of floating around out there somewhere.
Yeah, logically, I could see that, because it would not be affected by time since he's only spinning the Earth around,
right?
But what happened to the other missile that, I guess it was the one that he was chasing in New Jersey?
The other missile should just reverse its history back. It would end up back on the truck.
All the way back there?
Well, go as far back as, you know, well, maybe not all the way back to truck, but it would be back in its silo, I guess, before it launched. I would think. I mean, I don't think he would only go far back as, the missile is already, he's gone back to save Lois, but he didn't go back far enough to put that missile back where it was safe. I don't think he'd do that. Otherwise, we'd still be flying around towards New Jersey.
Well, that was my point. I don't think he went too far back, because she just ran out of gas, right? And around the time she ran out of gas was when she left the gas station, right?
Yeah, but he may have gone back further. I mean,
no, but when he shows up. But when he shows up, like when she's turning the ignition, he shows up like almost instantly. All right. So what about this? When he is reversing time, is there another Superman saving those things in reverse on that planet, on Earth?
You I would think he's reversing time and he would merge with whatever Superman was going backtracking through history.
Oh, yeah, right. So the one that was meant to go to New Jersey, that's the one he shot in space. But that's the other one,
space.
But the one that went in the San Andreas Fault, that one he wasn't able to get. So he reversed time to the point that the missile never hit the San Andreas Fault.
Right.
But like you said, it's kind of like a time paradox that the other one, since it was beyond the Earth when he started spinning the Earth around, that it still ended up in the Earth. It still ended up out, you know, it wasn't destroyed. It just ended up releasing the Kryptonian villains at some point.
Well, no, the Kryptonian villains were released by the Eiffel Tower bomb.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Donner Cut. Wait, see, now I'm getting confused. The Donner Cut has them as the missile hitting their album cover. The Phantom Zone.
The Phantom Zone.
What do you think, Fedra? With the whole thing, with reversing time.
I think it's a dangerous thing to do, I guess. Only Superman can do it and can do it right, you know, is the message there. I guess he would, yeah, just put it back to where it ought to be and somehow it all sink into where it's supposed to. I mean, that's how I remember watching it. It didn't feel like, I didn't really have a wonder of like, where did that missile go or where did the other one go? Like it, to me, it was just like he made it right however it ought to be because he's Superman.
All right, Fedra, your homework is to go and watch the movie 49 times.
Okay. And then maybe I'll see that.
And then you'll think about it.
Well, after okay. Watching it 50 times, I'm still somewhat confused at times. But did you ever watch the extended cut, Jack, which was shown on ABC for two nights? It's like 3 hours.
You know what? There's stuff in that. Like, I remember seeing parts of it and people like, no, you're crazy. You're amazing. You're out of your mind. Like, I half remember like Jonathan Kent using the "with great power comes great responsibility" line or something like that.
I don't know about that. Well, he says something like that, but he doesn't say that word for word.
But that's what I mean. Like, I remembered that scene, but like most people, like, you're crazy. He never talked to his dad, you know, on his deathbed. It was just the dad died and they had the funeral right away. And I'm like, no, there was something in there.
He said, basically, he said, well, you're here for a reason. You know, that's the great responsibility thing that I think you're thinking of. But no, he never talked to him on his deathbed. But there was a lot of footage in there. My point is, though, Lex was into this thing. I think he was gypping out the Native Americans out of their land, was buying up their land cheap. And what happens is when Superman stops or you know, like all the disasters that are happening in California around the San Andreas Fault, he diverts a flood from, I guess, the dam that broke, and he has the water go towards the village. So now that they were suffering from drought or no rain, now they're happy as can be because they have all this water. My point is, like, I remember when this happened, when he reverses time, he screws them out of that water. Because that water is now gone now, because was it the Hoover Dam that broke?
I don't remember if it was what dam it was. I don't remember if it was the Hoover Dam.
I always thought it was the Hoover Dam, but that would be in Nevada, right?
Yep.
Yes, I don't know. Anyway, it's a great movie. There's a cool scene in the extended cut when Superman is chasing the missile, I guess the one that's in New Jersey. Where he kind of stands, like floats in air and is about to stop it. And it just like does almost like a U-turn around him. And it's such a cool scene. And I can't believe that they cut that out of the original movie. There was also,
I remember,
yeah, I'll find it for you. And I'll
I don't remember that being cut out. I mean, I remember the scene because you know, after the missile goes around, he's like, what the heck?
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's not in, it's not in the theatrical and it's not in the special edition. It's in the extended cut. I have all three versions. There was also
a scene. Fancy you.
I'm a big Superman fan. there was also a scene in Superman 2 when he's flying to stop the bomb in Paris. And he passes the Concorde. And they cut that out. And that was a cool scene. Anyway, I'm getting too much into Superman. But I love that movie. And thanks for somewhat clearing that up, guys. It kind of helps me sleep at night now.
Strange man, Joseph Hogan.
Whatever. All right. So guess what I just got back from seeing?
Gee, I don't know. Is something opening tonight in theaters across the country?
It opened pretty early, like in the afternoon, and I was able to see it.
Like some dark figure in the night?
Yes, a very darkly nightly figure. So I won't say much, but I did see the Batman. We're going to do kind of an official roundtable this weekend. So that will come out shortly after this podcast comes out. But if I had to sum it up, I'd probably say this is a movie that Jack would hate.
Really?
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Jack is challenged now.
I don't think you would like this. It seems more like it's more real world based. There's definitely no way in hell would Superman exist in this world. And I guess you could say that about the Dark Knight trilogy, too. But even more so in this one, I just feel like you will never see any super powered human beings in this particular movie series. I don't know if it's going to get a sequel. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it deserves a sequel. A lot of times I'll say a movie sucks. I'm not going to say this movie sucks. I think it was made okay. I thought the acting was okay, but it's just too long. It's like almost 3 hours, and boy does it drag, and boy does it get boring at times.
Well, I do have a question though. Do you think I would dislike it because they sort of skim over the world's greatest detective part?
No, they have that
super ninja guy that we've seen in most movies.
No, they have that. He is a detective finally in this one, and he's a pretty good one. It's just, I don't know. I really don't think you would like this because it reminds me a lot of the Joker. Like he would fit in this world, but he's a decent Batman. Again, he's a detective. He's a great fighter. He is the worst Bruce Wayne we've ever had. Like George Clooney is better than this.
What?
Bruce Wayne.
Oh,
I
boy.
Am serious. Well, first of all, he's an emo. He's got like hair like Edward Scissors hands, you know, like where it's long and it's like almost sheepdogish. It's like, I don't understand why they did that. Like he's a good looking actor. Why the hell would they make him look so damn ugly? Like when Bruce Wayne's supposed to be like Gotham's most eligible bachelor. And
yeah, true.
He just looks like he doesn't bathe, you know?
Oh my.
And he's got the same voice as Batman, but the Batman voice is okay. I think it's better than Ben Affleck's voice, but he doesn't change it at all when he's Bruce Wayne. I don't know how people wouldn't say, oh, well, he's Batman, you know? Cause plus he never smiles. Bruce Wayne does not smile on this at all. He's just so unhappy. I think he loves being Batman, but he hates being Bruce Wayne. Like he wants to be Batman like 24 hours a day.
Well,
like
show it like
been touched on kind of a lot of times.
What's that?
He kind of does this. He would rather be Batman all the time, but being Bruce Wayne allows him to be Batman. Because it makes the money that he needs. It gives him the alibis that he uses to kind of hide his identity a bit as Batman. So it's sort of like when they say Clark Kent is really Superman's disguise, because he's always Superman. You know, it's just he hides that being Clark Kent. Is that kind of what they're going for? That he's always Batman, but he...
No, he just like he's not a happy person. He's kind of like Howard Hughes. He's like a recluse. Like, he really doesn't leave Wayne Manor. He does like once or twice, but people are like, oh my God, it's Bruce Wayne. I don't think he ever came out of his house. And he looks that way. He's pale as a ghost. You know, again, he looks creepy. It's just, they totally messed up the Bruce Wayne part. And he's not a fun guy. But again, he does very good detective work. This is the most detective work we've ever seen. And I will say what I really liked about this is there's way more Batman in this than there is Bruce Wayne. And he never takes his cowl off. Like, where, what's his name? Tom Holland takes off his mask every 5 seconds. Never happens in this movie.
Like when Michael Keaton rips off, you know, his rubber cowl too. You know?
Did that once in Batman Returns at the very end, which was fine. But, you know, I'd say he's a decent Batman. I don't know. He's not my favorite Batman, but it's decent. It's just, like I said, the bottom line is it's long, it's boring. The Riddler is a mess. He's not the Riddler. I don't know what the hell he is. And Catwoman is okay, but good Lord. This was a problem I had. I remember Matt Reeves had said this. He was pissed at Pattinson because he told him, you know, like, while we're off during COVID, I want you to work out, lift weights, get in good shape. And when he came back, he didn't do it. He said, oh, I didn't do it. I thought you were kidding. Yeah, you could tell that on the screen. At one point, he's got his shirt off. You know, he looks like me and you, Jack. You know, it's like, that's not who I imagine Batman to look like. He should be in awesome tip-top shape. Just because if you're playing Batman, you want to look like, you know, you can win in a fight and that you can kick ass because you spend a lot of your time training, working out. And I just noticed the scene, like when he took his shirt off, I was like, yeah, that's not good. He doesn't have muscles or biceps. But what's even worse is, you know, the girl who plays Catwoman, I think she's a good Catwoman and she looks the part, but she walked in with a sleeveless outfit and her biceps are as thick as like a corner cob. Like, I could stick her whole arm in my mouth easily. And she beats the crap out of this 250-pound mafia guy, punches him, knocks him down. No way in hell. No way in hell is that going to happen, you know, with a girl as little like olive oil muscles. That was my little nitpick. Now, if she didn't have like no sleeves on, if she had kept her sleeves on, I wouldn't care. But once I saw it, because I'm sure Michelle Pfeiffer probably looked like that too, but she kept her sleeves on. And it kind of like helped me, what's the word I'm looking for? Amplified the suspension of disbelief, you know, like where, or made me accept the suspension of disbelief, just like,
didn't pull you out of the movie.
Yeah, it's like, you know, maybe she is a monster in there. And she was a little crazy, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. A little.
She was a bit.
Crazier than a sack full of cats.
Yeah, this Catwoman wasn't crazy. Anyway, I'm not going to get too much into it, but I don't know, Jack. Maybe you would like it. Maybe I'm wrong with my statement.
Well, that was always my complaint with the Batman movies. And even the comics too, sometimes, you know, the Batman stories that I've really liked were the ones where he's piecing together the clues to, you know, figure out what Two-Face is planning, what Riddler is planning. Joker's just crazy, crazy as a bat. But I like that side of Batman. Unfortunately, they don't show it. Like, one of the coolest moments in the Nolan movies was, I thought, when he recreated the bullet.
I still don't understand that. That's like Superman flying backwards for me.
Oh, no. I thought that was so cool how, you know.
What did he do with that, though? That's another confusing point.
No, but that was it. I mean, yes, it was that super science sort of thing. But I thought it was cool. Like, hey, you know, let's recreate the bullet out of the fragments. And then maybe we might be able to get a fingerprint off of it. Like that kind of pseudo detective science.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
But what did he do? How did he recreate it?
Because the fragments of the bullet were stuck in the brick. So by extracting them out of the brick, he was able to piece together the bullet. And then off of the bullet, he was able to pull a fingerprint.
That's overly complicated.
But you see, that's the cool stuff. He's Batman, and he's the world's greatest detective, that he would come up with a way to do that. Rather than just be, you know, super ninja. You know, so I like when Batman does crazy stuff like that. How real it is, I don't know. You know, never seen that on Forensic Files, you know. But I like when they throw that kind of stuff in for Batman, because he's supposed to be super smart and figure stuff out, not just show up and beat the heck out of people. But who knows? From what you said, maybe there's promise in this movie for me.
Maybe. I would just say, if you're going to go, make sure you go to the bathroom before it starts. Because I went and I still had to go at some point. And I was like, damn it.
That's the scene you missed. The scene that pulled everything together.
No, I didn't. No, I held it in. But I was like, because I was afraid the Joker was going to show up or something.
That's why you felt it dragged.
Then as soon as it was done, I was like, get out of my way. I knocked some guy over with a walker. It's like, I got to get to the bathroom.
Sadly, Fedra, I can see that happening. He's joking, but I hope he's joking. But I can really see that.
I think he's joking. It's funny, though. Just a little bit.
Come on, old man. I know you're wearing a diaper anyway. Yeah.
So when are you seeing it, Fedra?
I'm planning for next weekend.
Okay. Well, I hope you like it. I definitely want to hear your view on it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I am a Batman fan, and I did really like, you know, Christian Bale's version, as well as, you know, the older Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer even. So we'll see how this turns. I mean, I can't remember if you mentioned, did you feel that Zoe plays the character well as Catwoman?
No, I think she has the good look for it. Like, she reminds me of Catwoman in Year One, which was a Batman comic by Frank Miller. I think she's very attractive. I think she's a decent actress. I think she does a good job at it. But she's got to be about 90 pounds. And
yeah.
I just have a problem with that. Not that I think Catwoman should be 200 pounds either, but it's just weird. I'm just being very nitpicky. She would have kept her sleeves on. I would have been fine. Oh, one problem I had with her. So her costume from the neck down is great. She puts a ski mask on. That's her mask. And it annoys the hell out of me. Like, they couldn't have spent a little more detail. And, you know, she doesn't have like the individual holes for the eyes. She's got like that rectangular circular kind of thing where you can kind of see her eyes and the bridge of her nose. And I'm like, why? You know, and she even has like little bumpy ears, like little kitty ears. But it's just like a wool cap ski mask. Where the rest of it seems like it's like leather. I don't get it. And I'm sure Warner Brothers was pissed off when I was thinking about it. The Batman costume is pretty cool. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll sell like millions of those, like in the toy stores. And Catwoman costume, I don't know. Penguin costume, forget it. They ain't selling any of that. Riddler costume, I mean, Riddler toy, never happening. No one's going to buy that crap. Yes, I'm conflicted, I'll say. I'll be honest with you. If I had a chance to see this or Batman and Robin again, I'd probably see Batman and Robin.
Oh, wow.
Just because Batman and Robin is half the length and because there's some fun in it, even though it's corny.
No.
But there's no fun in highly. This. There is no fun in this. Like there is no humorous moments. Everybody, it sucks to live in Gotham. If you live in Gotham, you need to move. I just don't understand it. I don't know how, you know, people aren't dodging people jumping out of office buildings, you know, in Gotham, because it's just so depressing. And again, nobody's happy. But I guess that's what Gotham should be. It's not Metropolis. Although I kind of like this Gotham. I kind of like the Wayne Manor. I'm saying too much. I need to save it for the round table. But I'm curious to see what the other people have to say too about the movie. I just feel there was, they missed some potential. I think that if the story was a little better, they had good actors. They kind of got Batman right. And Catwoman, it could have been a much better movie, but the story blows. Sorry.
Okay, so on a 1 to 10.
Yeah, what's the rating?
I'd probably give it a 5 just because of the length. Like if they were, this should have been about 2 hours. They could have, they didn't have to kill as many people as they killed.
Now, do you think the length was caused because they had to fit in Penguin and Catwoman instead of just him against the Riddler?
No. I think a lot of it had to do, it was kind of like a mystery, like who's the Riddler? Who's he going to kill next? And why is he killing these people? You know, what motive it is. And it just went on for too long. I don't think that it was long, you know, like they had Falcone in it, you know, he was a big part of it too. And I hate when they have the crime lords in the Batman movies. I'm just really not too interested in it. I'd rather see the Joker or Bane or Catwoman as a villain, or I don't know, you know, like Riddler, I guess they just didn't get him right in this one. He was more like some psycho nutbag, like from Seven or something like that, or Hannibal Lecter. It's tough. I wouldn't want to see a movie with Penguin in it either.
So you would not watch it again?
I would, but I'd have to be able to fast forward it. Yeah, it's boring. The music, I don't think, is very good. You know what's weird, too, is like the marketing for this movie sucked. They're always like, if you look at the posters, they're all red. I don't get it. You know, there's no really no red in the movie. I think it was just an artistic style that they decided upon. And to me, when I think of Batman, I don't think of red. You know, I mean, I think of black, maybe blue.
Yeah, I agree. Same when it comes to the posters. I felt like it was off. Like it was just too dark and too dramatic. Like even more than the like original Dark Knight posters. I didn't feel like they were that dark.
Yeah. And someone, you know, whoever came up with the design got $100,000. But I guarantee you they could have made a better poster or done a better job at marketing this movie. Anyway, I would say judge it for yourself. Go see it. Decide what you think. But I honestly think it's tracking to make a lot of money this weekend. I think they said around $150 million, like domestically. But I don't see it getting a sequel. I see it falling off the map after this.
So you don't think it's going to have the staying power of like No Way?
No. It'll drop 50% the next week. There's no way someone's going to go back and see this movie a second time when it's 3 hours long. It just drags in a lot of spots. But anyway, that's enough. To be continued on our next podcast. All right, so let's get into it. So I was going to say Galaxy's Edge. No, the Galactic Star Cruiser has officially opened for, I guess, the 1st of March. And a lot of people have gone and seen it. I think Tom Corliss is there right now. And he's going to give his opinion. Not here, but he will give it on WWNT. There have been a lot of press that were able to catch it before, like the general public has seen it. And I did send a couple of videos over to you guys. Don't mention where they were from, I'll ask you first, Fedra. So what did you think of what I sent you for the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel?
I mean, the introduction in the video itself was really cheesy. But I mean, that's Disney too. But I just felt like it was really cheesy, like purposefully. So right there, like, I don't know if it was more of a selling pitch than really describing everything. But I did like the details. When they showed the details in the bedding and like going from one room to the other.
Did you like the toilet?
Yeah, the space toilet. That's what stuck in your mind. I mean, that was hilarious. It's just like, okay, like.
Like a toilet to me.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think this is where it's $6,000, right? To stay for 2-3 days?
Yeah, roughly. 2 days, 2 nights.
I mean, the details are there. It's definitely a luxury place. But again, I mean, it's just physical stuff, physical design. I am curious of the whole journey on the ship and what they take you through. Cause to me, it just looks like a presentation or like a show. So it's not as interactive as it seems. It looks more like for show.
I think you would have been a better singer if they would have gotten you to play that alien-ess.
Aw, thank you.
No, I'll get to that in my points. Anything else?
No, that's really it. Didn't really find it as amusing. It was more like a shot down to me. I mean, as I just said, like to me, it looks like just a luxury piece, but it doesn't look like the spirit of the journey is really there. It still just feels like a show. So.
Not you, Jackie boy.
The videos kind of were a mixed bag for me. There are some things that I thought were kind of cool. I did like the video that showed the dining options, that it kind of looks like space food. Even though the Bantha steak looks like your typical steak and potatoes. Some of the other things looked otherworldly. So that looked like a different sort of experience that you might want to try. Like if you've ever gone to dinner at the Beast's Castle for Be Our Guest, you know, the gray stuff is delicious. You don't know what it is. And it comes out, it's like squeezed out in a little wine. And you try it, and it is good, but you're not exactly quite sure what it is. So like I said, the dining looks like it could be very interesting. Some of the bits make me think it's this is like definitely for younger Star Wars fans, not kids, but I would say maybe that 9 to 12 age. That they, if they will participate in it, that they'll have a great time. However, I think if you are over 15, you're probably too old for it. Sort of like different things when you're on missions to keep up with the storyline. It's a secret mission for you and your 30 friends to sneak through a hallway and talk to somebody. You know, it's like Pedro said, a little bit of the show. However, that's a little too much for a planned moment. That it's not as spontaneous or immersive from what we saw in the video. I do like the facts, like the fact, like the characters, when you come across them, are in character. For example, when you're eating at the captain's table, you know, the Imperial officer just happens to sit down and eat the meal with you. Those are things that are kind of cool. However, there's just other things that just seem too staged, almost, for lack. It just seems like, you know, like, hey, everybody, make sure you're at the bar at 1 o'clock, because then, you know, you'll see this galaxy-wide singer give off to the Imperial officer. Like, that just, having it staged like that, I don't know, it just kind of, that kind of pulls me out from looking at it. So I honestly think you'd be out of your mind to spend that much money on this experience. It looks cool, but even some of the character designs, the captain, for example, okay, she's blue, all right? But then she has like this like gold tattoo and stuff on it that makes her look less realistic and more cartoonish.
You know, so, what she looked like to me? She looked like a fat Mystique.
Yes, you know, she looked, you know, she's not thin. But no, but I mean, the fact that they put the little gold tattoo or makeup on her takes her from looking realistic to cartoonish. And it's little things like that that pull me out of it. However, it's something kids might love. So I got to weigh the perspective from, you know, a 55-year-old guy to, oh, sorry, 56-year-old guy to a early teen, a tween.
That's true.
So kids may love it. I didn't. So yeah, but it looks interesting, but not for that much money.
Yeah, like you said, it might not be for us. It might be for kids, but we have to pay for it, you know. And I don't know any kid that is worth that experience or that money. I agree with you. I think that there's some things that if I was there, I'd probably say, "Oh, this is pretty cool," and it looks much better in person than it does on video. And there are probably things that we haven't seen. It's hard to really judge by video. Like even like the screens that are in your room that makes it look like you're in space, it probably looks a lot cooler when you're there. But
oh yeah, and they made such a big deal on the video that you could close the window. Man, if I'm supposed to be up in space and I have the view of the stars and a planet, I'm not closing the window. I want to go to sleep looking out at that.
Maybe someone has a fear of heights,
you know? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what it reminded me of? And I know Fedra is a fan of this movie, The Fifth Element, Floss in Paradise.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, that was a space yacht. And they even had the Diva, which like their Disney's version of the Diva is like a low budget version of the diva. And I think that they copied a lot of that stuff from that movie. It's a less elaborate version of Lost in Paradise from The Fifth Element. And if you guys haven't seen that movie, you need to watch it. It's a great movie. And you would see what a space vessel should look like. It does seem small, too, when you think about it. I don't know how many guests that it fits, but I can't imagine all those people being able to fit in that lobby all at once, because that lobby looks pretty damn small. Unless, again, there's not that many rooms. I don't know. I'm not too technically kept up on, again, the room sizes and how many people can fit into that hotel at once. But, you know, they kind of like make it where, all right, if you have like a yellow band and a blue band, you know, you go here, your Jedi training. You know, if you have a green band and a black band, you go in to the bridge and all that stuff. So they try to separate the people so everyone isn't on top of each other, which is fine. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like Star Wars to me. And I think that one of the problems, too, is that Galaxy Edge has this problem, too, is that it focuses too much on the Star Wars sequels. And not too many people love that the sequels. They love the original trilogy, I would say, mostly, or try to incorporate, you know, all of the trilogies if it's possible. It was nice that they had Rey and Kylo Ren there. And I thought that lightsaber trick was pretty cool. I know a lot of people said, oh, well, she dropped it and then picked up a different one when she was fighting Kylo Ren. But I was okay with that. It was cool to see it ignite like the way it did. I thought that was pretty damn cool. They're getting there. We'll have one eventually.
Well, I mean, that does look cool that they can have it flare up like that. It's just, you know, part of the fun of a lightsaber is being able to fight with it. And if that's the showcase of it, it looks very cool to look at. But when it comes to dueling, you got to kind of drop it and pick something else up.
Well, again, you and your son have done that. If I ever had one of those lightsabers, I wouldn't. I would just turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. And I would just like to see it rise up and down, up and down. I wouldn't be banging it against anything. I'd be like, praise the Lord.
It's, I got a lightsaber. They're banging against each other.
It stings, you said?
No, it's instead of just up and down. Like you said, oh, I would be banging against things. No, I mean, we would have our duels with the lightsabers, and it was a lot easier when he was younger, you know, because if he did catch me, he didn't hit me nearly as hard as he does now. You know.
Yeah, it's just like, well, Jack, now you went to Pleasure Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. This reminds me of the Adventurers Club.
Now, I love the Adventurers Club.
Me too. And it was much better than this too.
Because it was the Adventurers Club. But like I said, that was a little bit more low key because, you know, you'd be Fedric. It's been gone for years, but it used to be like you get a table and you'd sit down. And while you're there, these, you know, mask on the wall would start talking to you, you know, and then everybody would sort of, you know, like turn towards almost like the atrium scene, right? Where it would be like circular and you could always get a view of what's going on, but then you'd have like, I don't know, not Indiana Jones, but you know, the old professors with the hat, you know, and the safari gear would come out and they would tell the story of the time they found King Solomon's mine or something, you know, like, they were completely in character and they were talking to people. They were taking questions from people and they would always have an answer of, you know, as if they were there. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And they were in character.
Yeah. But that was only, you know, what, a 2-hour show, not a two.
No, that was open the whole time. I mean, you basically, You could have stayed there the whole time if you wanted to. Like, you could have stayed there for hours and hours and hours.
But I don't remember if they had different guys come out to tell adventures or not.
Well, yeah, they did. They also had a room, too, where you could sit in there and then someone would come out and tell their adventures. And then they had a bar where it was a little smaller, a little more intimate, where they'd have like a character in there. But it was a lot of fun. But anyway, my point is...
Joe, we never made it out of the bar. So...
No, but Pleasure Island, we went to so many bars that we were like, all right, we're done with the Adventurers Club. Let's go to the Country Bar or the Disco or the Revolving Floor and all that crap, you know, which was a lot of fun. I do miss that. But also it reminds me of Tony and Tina's Wedding, too, you know, like with the whole interaction where people don't get at a character. But I feel like from the video that I've seen, the people that are cast are just not very good. You know, they're more like high school acting level than they are professional actors. Although I've heard that they are professional actors, that Disney did hire professional actors for this. But it's just very corny. Like if I had to come up with one word for it, I would say that the whole experience just seems very corny.
I agree with you. I think a lot of that comes out of who it's for.
Yeah. Like, I don't see any of these actors being the next De Niro, you know, if they are apparently good actors. They just, and it could be the script too, but it's got to be tough too, you know, in order to improvise a lot, like when you're with a lot of people. Now, you know, they have a ride in Galaxy's Edge, you know, called The Rise of Skywalker, and they do have like members of the First Order and, you know, captains and crew members, and they'll come up to you and they'll yell in your face because at some point you are captured and you're all put in a line. And that's fun, you know, because you do feel like you're part of the experience. And it just seems smaller for some reason in the Galactic Star Cruiser. And what pisses me off, though, I got to say, is, yeah, we did see like a Rodian walking around, and we seen Chewbacca and a couple of stormtroopers and maybe some other alien creatures like that guy with the guitar and all that stuff. That should be in Galaxy's Edge. That was supposed to be in Galaxy's Edge, but they're like, well, we're going to, they changed it midway, you know, where they wanted a nickel and dime us. And they're like, if you want that experience, you're going to have to pay for it. Okay. And you're going to have to stay at this, exclusive hotel, but it's going to be so cool because you're actually going to be in a spaceship and you will feel like you're in a spaceship. So my problem with that, though, right, you're going to Disney for 4 days, right? So it's a 4-day experience and a 2-night experience. If I'm going to Disney, I'm not going to stay at that hotel. I'm not going to want to be stuck in that damn hotel for basically 4 days. I want to do other things. I want to go to other theme parks. Now, I don't know if you can. I know they do take you to Galaxy's Edge, but I think because of the immersiveness that they want you to stay in that hotel. And if you're going to leave, you're just going to go to Galaxy's Edge. You know, like they'll transport you there to make you feel like you're part of this adventure. I think that's a waste. Like, wouldn't you rather be at the, you know, the Polynesian? You know, I just don't get it. I think that around this time next year, they're going to cut the price in half because already I see people canceling. I don't think that these videos have really helped. I think that people are like, that's it. You know, that's what I get for it. Because when you look at it, your food isn't included. Your drinks aren't included. Definitely merchandise or anything you want to buy is not included. They have a damn jewelry store in there. I can imagine how much that crap must cost.
That surprised me, though, that I could see alcoholic beverages not being free, but the meals, I don't know why that isn't included almost like a meal plan. It's like,
yeah,
here you go. You get a dinner. You can have whatever you want for the dinner. Because from the looks of it, all of those meals should be comparable to each other. that here you go. You get your appetizer sampler, you get an entree, and you get that weird fruit bulb thing, you know, as your dessert. I just don't know why food at that price, why food is not included.
Well, they probably think you're rich enough to be able to afford this experience. Food's not going to be much of a dent in your pocket, but it should be.
Yeah, but it seems like for paying that much money, you shouldn't be bothered with settling up a bill at dinner. You should go. You should be able to enjoy it. You should be able to watch whatever show is happening during the dinner and be done with it. I just don't get why you're paying for the food like that.
I don't know.
As if it's a standard restaurant.
My other issue, again, is, and to me, I feel like this is a part of woke society, is that most of the characters that are there just seem like they're overweight. And I think it's because of this whole thing that they've been pushing that, you know, all body types are beautiful and that, you know, you should, you know, if you're heavy, you should be happy with that. And, you know, people should look up to you or admire you for just for who you are and all that, which, I mean, part of that sentiment I do agree with. But I also feel that if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to want to see somebody attractive, you know, even like, you know, if it's a guy or a girl, if I'm going to take a picture with somebody, like the waitress that serves us, and she's, and that's another thing, the waitresses and waiters that serve you, they're not in costume. I mean, they're like, it would be cool, like, again, if they were Rhodians or, I don't know, Wookiees or whatever, you know.
Well, that may be because of food issues. That you don't want to introduce anything foreign into the dining experience. So, for example, say Fedra's allergic to some sort of makeup component. You don't want to have somebody painted different colors that might transfer elements of that makeup to the food. So I could see that, but they should have like a standard, you know, ship's uniform. And about the body type things too, because, you know, I have one of those body types that
me too.
I do well too. In dressing up in costumes. But if it's somebody working on a ship, that makes sense. But in one of the videos, you had an obviously overweight Imperial officer. Okay, this guy's in the military. He could be buff, but he shouldn't be seriously overweight. You know, that's when that throws me. If you're in the military, the majority of people in the military are in very good shape. It goes with their training, goes with their position, what they do day in, day out, that a lot of us just couldn't do. So that's sort of like, I get where you're going with that, Joe, but like if you're a non-military person or a role, you know what?
Well, I'm just saying,
it's like at Comic-Con when you see that 300-pound stormtrooper, you know, or 300-pound
you know,
Spider-Man.
It's like, that's cool and everything, but it's not official. This is supposed to be official.
Yeah. And exactly. It should be put on a different level.
Like if you saw the concept art for, you know, that bar and what that character was supposed to look like, that Sing, she was tall, slender, more alien looking. And it's almost like Disney is like, well, we're going to hire people, but we're not going to judge on body type or gender or race or whatever the hell, because that's not who we are. But you still should look at things like that too. Like if it was up to me, again, if I was CEO of Disney, you'd know all Slave Leia's would be your waitress at that
oh
bar.
Yeah, all Slave Leia, yep.
Oh, good grief.
And no, and I
never
would
never miss it, not a beat.
I'd have Han Solo, you know, serving at the bar and all that.
Right. But I want him to have short shorts on, okay?
Yeah, you could take your shirt off every half hour if he wants to, you know, or if you pay enough money.
You pay enough money.
Enough credits.
Oh, my gosh.
Enough credits. Oh, love you.
But I think that it just seems like there weren't enough characters there. There should be like maybe 100 characters walking around. Not constantly, but you should see all different characters. To me, it seems like you see maybe 5, you know? And to me, that's not the experience that I wanted to see. The hotels, I mean, the rooms, they don't look that great. They look very small. Like for, it seems like there's like a double bed and then there's bunk beds, you know, for the regular room. Yeah, I wouldn't be too happy with that.
You know what it reminded me of? The rooms with the scouts, we stayed on the battleship New Jersey. It was like sleep overnight on a battleship, and you got to tour everything after it closed to the public. And we had stayed in the sleeping berths below decks, which I can say it was about as comfortable as spending 8 hours in an MRI. You know, jeez. That I remember I could barely turn onto my side without touching the bunk above me. That's what those little bunk beds look like to me. I'm like, oh no, no, no.
Well, kids might like it, but if you had to share them with adults, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Younger kids would fit in there and be like, hey, I got plenty of room.
We're in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when they showed the like layout of the room. That's what I thought. It was designed for 2 adults, 2 children.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, because honestly, I mean, I'm sure Patrick would love to go right now, but I can't imagine 6'1" Patrick in that bunk bed.
Get out of bed, Dad. You're going in the bunk bed. You and Ma.
or waking up next morning and seeing, like, you know, his feet hanging out over the side of it because he just couldn't stretch out. I mean, they look small. You're right, Joe.
Or he had a bad dream and his feet ended up in the hallway, went to crash through the wall. Yeah, that room doesn't look spectacular. Another problem I felt like is that everything looks very sterile. You know, it's almost like too clean, like a hospital. I'm just not impressed with most of what I had seen. And I remember, you know, again, in the videos, they said, oh, this is where you want to take your picture. And it's the front of the sign where it says the Galactic Star Cruiser when you first get there. And I'm like, really? That's where you want to take your picture?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a stone wall.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. There's just, I you know, when I was watching this, I said, I bet you Boba Fett would love this experience, but Fennec would hate it. Yeah, you know, she'd want to leave like right away. Because, and that's what this is what I think it is. I think that again, it's Disney is hiring the wrong people, or they're hiring people that aren't our age anymore. They're hiring younger people that are, I don't know if they're millennials, but they're probably, the average age is probably like in their 30s, mid 30s. And it's not like they have an idea of what Star Wars should be. It's what it should be, what we want it to be, the fans, not what they want it to be. And that's what I think that they're pushing. It's like, this is the future that we see. We have this chubby blue female captain in charge of everything. And she mouths off to the First Order leader, you know, because she's brave and she's ferocious, but she's also kind and she loves the people, you know, and she's a great heroic captain. And it's like, yeah, whatever. I don't, you know, even if it was a dude, I would still have a problem. It just, like I said, it's very corny. I don't think they get what Star Wars is. It kind of makes me feel too. It's like, it's almost like if you wanted to throw a Star Wars party, and you gave somebody like about $10,000 and they came out with the best that they could. But again, it wasn't official. That's what this feels like. You know, they gave somebody a bunch of money to come up with a hotel, but it's like, it's almost like they hired Party City to do it, you know, instead of the Imagineers. And again, that's, I think that's the problem, is the Imagineers are just not the Imagineers of old. They want to push a certain kind of narrative in everything that they do, but in reality, it's a bit of a turnoff, because there should be fun, there should be danger, there should be excitement, and I just don't see that. And like that part when you're on the bridge, which it probably looks cool watching, you know, the TIE fighters go by, but the whole video game aspect, I think that gets very tiresome, like within 5 minutes, you know. I don't see how that's a big deal. I think most kids would rather be at home in front of like an 80-inch television playing, you know, with their Xbox or PlayStation, as opposed to just clicking a button, you know, every time that a ship shows up.
Well, I mean, there might be more to it. There might be more of a video game element where you're aiming, you know, the targeting, aiming the guns and stuff. So, I mean, actually, I thought that looked better than the stuff we'd seen prior. It looked like there was more to the bridge with that.
Well, you know, and even the Jedi training looked a little cheap. I mean, it looked, I guess, I always expected that that was the next level for the Jedi training at Hollywood Studios, is that we would go indoors and it'd be something like that. But, you know, they got some guys with shields, some guys with sabers. I don't know. It just seems like I wouldn't want to be there. Like, again, I'd rather be in the parks. I'd rather be I'd rather have a swimming pool. I guarantee you there's no swimming pool there, you know?
Oh, no. But you know what? You're right. A Star Wars swimming pool could be kind of fun. Like, you could be up top and then you could have maybe a downstairs view. So it's like, oh, yay, here come, you know, little Johnny's going up and jumping off the diving board, you know, and you could watch him on camera going up, and then you could watch him from underneath or something. You know, that might be kind of cool. And I don't know what you could do underwater that wouldn't be a safety problem. Like, it'd be great if you have like a diver guy down there or something. And
did you ever see the gravity pools, like where like they're up really high and it's a glass bottom and, you know, you can see like the street below you? Something like that, like have a really tall hotel and have it, but you know, it would have to be space themed, but still, you could still do that. Have the
pool. Have the bottom. You're right. Have the bottom be a window out. So
yeah, into space.
While you're swimming, you're looking down. When you're underwater, you're looking down. You can see like the stars or planets underneath, yeah, or something.
It's just really weird. And again, the sabacc. They're like, oh, you know, group two, you're going to play sabacc for an hour. You know, it's like, is that what you really want to do with your time? Is that part of your experience, to play sabacc for no stakes? You can't even win money. And so what? It's a holographic version. If I'm doing a Star Wars experience, the last thing I want to do is play sabacc, you know, which is their version of poker. Trying to think if there is anything else. I think that's about it. I just think that it's the words I have written down. I said corny, cringy, lame, embarrassing. That's how I see it. You know, maybe people see it differently, but I just don't. I don't see it getting good reviews by legitimate reviewers. I think that the people that are praising it were invited by Disney for a reason. They were given a lot of swag, you know, and it's almost difficult for them to say that the experience is bad. And that's what I did see with a lot of the people that did go on these press excursions, that they might have, some might have said some negative stuff, but they worded it very diplomatically, where again, I probably say as I left the place, this blows or this sucks. I am never coming back. But that's another thing too, that I heard someone mention. How many times are you going to go there?
Yeah, that's kind of it. It's kind of a one and done.
Yeah, and it's just too high priced for even fans to appreciate. It's like, you can see Tom Cruise going there and he could spend a year there if he wants to, or his whole life there, but the average person can't. You know, again, like if you're going to go to Florida and you're going to go to Disney World, you're going to spend 4 days there. Screw that. You got to be a huge Star Wars fan. And not only that, you have to be a huge Star Wars trilogy fan in order to appreciate that. I guess that's about it. I need to be president of that company. I'll save that place like you wouldn't believe.
Sorry, you're a spoiled brat. You can't go in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and I would officially, I would create a gate, and I'd be just like that guy at Oz, you know, the guy that doesn't let Dorothy in. It's like, there's no more room in here. Get out of here. Because it'd be overflowing.
That's the perfect job for you.
It would be. I would love that job. I got to see if I could talk Disney into making a job for that. All right, let's get into Marvel movie March Madness. Dum, 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 dum. So we've done this several times, and I got to give myself a pat in the back because I always come up with different ones that we're going to do. Sometimes we do Marvel versus DC, and I think we did Marvel versus villains. I think we might have had Star Wars in the mix and all that. But this year, what we're going to do is we're going to do the Marvel movies, like which ones, you know, the better ones are going to beat the less better ones. And one is eventually going to end up being champion out of the 32 combatants that we have. So we're going to do the first 16 tonight, and we'll see how it goes. And I have this all randomly, and I'm going to pick out of this bowl. I have this nice big bowl over here. I cut these names out. They're really small. Hope you guys can see them. I'm talking about Jack and Federer since we're no longer in video. But all right, here we go. Here's the first movie. Let me know if you can see it.
Guardians of the Galaxy
versus.
Watch, we're going to end up with like a conflict early on, like Black Panther.
Oh, that's Black Panther.
That's an easy one for me, but okay.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the good thing about having three people, because I'll hear from you, I'll hear from Fedra, and then it's majority rules, basically. So, yeah, let's hear from Fedra first. Now, I know you've seen most of the Marvel movies recently.
Yeah, I got caught up.
So out of those two, which one would you prefer?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right. Any particular reason? I mean, did you like both movies?
Yes, I did like both very much. But I think there was more cohesion as a whole of the story itself. And then, like you've said it on several episodes, the fact these random characters all together have such a personality and a bond. I really felt that in the first movie. So I think that's just, in my opinion, just better than Black Panther.
And Jack?
Guardians of the Galaxy all the way. I appreciate a lot of the Black Panther more, having seen it a couple of times. However, I still think it gets more credit than it really should, because I find there's problems with that movie. And Guardians of the Galaxy was about as good as it gets for just a rockin' fun time at the movies. And it still made sense. had a good story, great characters, great chemistry between them. Guardians of the Galaxy all the way. With Black Panther, I have to say what killed it for me were two things. I thought the CGI and the big fight scene at the end, that just wasn't up to snuff for me. I thought that looked simplistic in some scenes. It looked great in others. And then the quality would just shift very quickly to looking kind of generic. So I'm not a big fan of Suri with her little panther blaster gloves. I don't know. That she just annoys me there. I liked her in the rest of the film, but her and her little glove blasters just annoy me. So Guardians all the way.
I'll say I did like Black Panther a lot. I thought Chadwick Boseman was really good as Black Panther, especially
he's excellent.
I thought he was
excellent, yeah.
Fantastic in Civil War. I thought he would have stole that movie if it wasn't for Spider-Man. I also liked Michael B. Jordan as the villain, Killmonger. Thought he was great. And I liked the story too. I thought the story was fun. It was very Shakespearean. I thought that the cast was very good. Like they had a lot of good chemistry, all of them. The one I disliked the most was Martin Freeman. I just didn't felt like they put him in as the token white guy that I just don't think that they needed. But it was a good movie. But like Jack said, I think it gets a little too much praise than it deserves. Like no way in hell did this movie deserve to be nominated for Best Picture. It was good. You know, and it's one of the better Marvel movies, but it's almost like they were rewarding it for it being, you know, predominantly black cast and having the lead as a, you know, one of the first black superheroes. That's how I felt that it was. And I just don't think that movies should be looked that way. I think that they should be judged equally. And I think that this had a little unfair advantage because, you know, people wanted to feel like they were doing the right thing. But sometimes when you do stuff like that, it kind of makes things worse because it almost kind of shows favoritism where it doesn't need to be. Because again, it was a good movie. It's just that it's not Best Picture material. But I will say, like with Guardians of the Galaxy, I hated the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book. You know, I thought it was just so stupid. It's something I would never buy. And I always say this, when I heard that they were making a movie, it's like they are scrapping the bottom of the barrel if they're going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. All those characters suck. You know, you got a talking tree, you got a raccoon, and I don't know who the hell else was in it. But those were the ones I knew the most, those two. But when I had seen that movie, I was instantly hooked, you know, from when Chris Pratt's Star-Lord is dancing on that planet to come and get your love and all that. And it just never stopped. It's like every single character that they introduced that was on that team, I fell in love with. I don't think there was a bad character in that movie. Like Yondu was great, you know, and I'd say probably the weakest part was probably the villain, you know, like he was okay, but he wasn't the best villain out there. But they had such great chemistry. It was the perfect cast. And they did, for me, the impossible. They took a bunch of know-nothing superheroes. I would say a grade level D, maybe C level superheroes, and elevated them to about an A, you know. And I love Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like in my top three movies. So I will chime in with you guys and say Guardians of the Galaxy is going on to the next round. Sorry, Black Panther, you're a good movie, but you lost out. Okay, next movie we got here is... you see that?
Marvel's The First Avengers.
Yes, the Avengers, the first one. And the next one is...
Thor, Ragnarok.
Oh.
All right, Jack, you go first. You get Marvel's The Avengers and Thor Ragnarok.
While The Avengers did something that surprised the heck out of us, that it was a movie built from other movies, that you met these characters and you got to see them finally come together on screen. You got your Tony Stark, who's, you know, kind of sarcastic and snarky, going up against squeaky clean Steve Rogers, personality-wise. You've got a nervous Bruce Banner who's just trying to keep it together because he doesn't want to get too excited. And I loved Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner in this movie. Mm-hmm. When he first appeared, he set the right tone as the guy who is just so scared of losing control. He's like an exposed nerve. That's great. However, Thor Ragnarok was just fun from the moment it started to the moment it ended. The Hulk Thor brawl we would all wish we could see prior to this finally happened. You had callbacks to numerous scenes in the comics, like Scourge on the mound of skeletons with machine guns. You had Loki being like he usually is. We got a Asgardian play of Loki's death, which was just hysterical. We got to see Odin passing on. Cate Blanchett was just phenomenal as hell. For me, as great as the Avengers was as at pulling off what it did, I gotta go Thor Ragnarok.
All right, Fedra.
I'm gonna be pretty quick on these because we've got 16. So I'm gonna say I love everything that Jack describes, and I go with Ragnarok also.
Wow. You see, I'm going to disagree with you guys. I'm going to go with the Avengers. I will admit Thor Ragnarok was a great movie and it was a lot of fun. And we really need that sometimes. It was mostly fun, the movie. And it was well directed. It introduced a lot of really nice characters, new characters. And the Thor and Hulk fight, like Jack said, was really, really good. However, I feel like Marvel, the Avengers, did something I didn't think was possible. It brought together four heroes from basically different franchises. Because back then, they weren't officially together, or they were, but like the Incredible Hulk was Universal, and Captain America, and I think Thor and Iron Man were Paramount, and then eventually Disney bought them out. You never seen anything like that, like where you had like four different characters from different studios get together and make a movie. And it was so well done. Joss Whedon did such a great job with all the characters. You know, like he gave them ample enough time, all of them. And I just thought it was an event. It was something that we'd never seen before. And again, it was something I didn't think I was ever going to see. And I just was so glad to finally get to see the Avengers on the screen. My only complaint with that movie was Captain America's helmet, you know, but.
His whole suit was just.
I could live with the suit because when he had his helmet off, it didn't look that bad. But when he had the helmet on, I'm not going to even say what I was going to say, but. I think, to me, I'm surprised that you guys picked Thor Ragnarok because I would have picked the Avengers. And I actually think, for me, I would have had the Avengers win. So this is a huge upset for me that the Avengers is going out so early. But yeah, I'll give it to the Avengers since you guys both said the Avengers and I said No. Sorry. Freudian
this
slip
is where
there.
It starts, Fedra. Oh, I didn't write down the votes this time.
Freudian slip.
Well, I'll just decide.
I'll give it to Thor Ragnarok, and I'll throw the Avengers with Black Panther. They're in good company. This won't be too bad, Fedra, because it actually, right now, we got rid of four of them. So it's actually a total of eight tournaments. So like we've done two, so we got six left. So it'll go pretty quick, I'd say. All right, so let's do the next one. So next one is... See it?
Ant-Man.
Right?
Okay.
And Uncle Man.
X-Men 2.
So, Fedra, those two movies. Did you see X-Men 2, by the way?
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
That's okay.
I don't even remember what happens. Well, it's been that long.
They win at the end.
Okay. I mean, since I've seen Ant-Man so recently, I'm a big X-Men fan.
I will remind you, X-Men 2 is the best X-Men movie ever made. Which I guess isn't saying much, so. You want us to come back to you?
Yeah, come back to me.
All right, Jack.
Okay. X-Men 2 is debatably the best X-Men movie made.
All right. What other one comes close?
What comes close? I have to say with X-Men, I really enjoyed First Class.
Okay, you got a point there.
And I also enjoyed The Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Age of Apocalypse, honestly, Dark Phoenix, kind of, I thought it was, considering it's the X-Men story everybody talks about, I don't think it's ever been properly done on screen.
You're right.
Agreed.
Despite the great cast, it just kind of felt flat. But it's close because there's so much to like about X-Men 2, but I'll say I really enjoyed the first Ant-Man. So
you're going to go with Ant-Man?
I'm going to go with Ant-Man.
All right, Fedra.
Well, I think I'm going to go with Ant-Man for now because I remember it more. And I don't think it's a proper judge for me to choose X-Men, even though I'm a huge fan. But again, I don't remember what fell through in the whole story. So Ant-Man it is.
I think the both of you are crazy. I'll give you a pass, Fedra, because you haven't seen it in a while. But
okay, thanks. I don't know. I kind of consider myself crazy.
Well, you're in good company.
Exactly. I'm here with you guys.
X-Men 2 was phenomenal. X-Men, the first one was okay, but the second one was so much better. And
I'm not knocking it. It was really good. I just happened to like Ant-Man more. And you know why? I wish the 20th Century Fox X-Men movies, I just wish we had more Cyclops. You know, because he is the X-Man.
I agree. They really don't put him that much in anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he was the leader. You know, a lot of the stuff that they assigned to Wolverine, because, you know, Wolverine has that cool appeal. A lot of that should have been going to Cyclops. So,
yes.
If we saw more Cyclops, I probably would have liked those movies better. But you're right, Joe. It's still a great movie.
I agree with you. I was kind of surprised how they kind of shorted Cyclops in all those movies. Hopefully they won't do it next time around. But no, I have so much fondness for X-Men 2. I just thought they did such a great job. It's one of the, you know, it's rare when a sequel is better than the original, and this was one of them for me. Ant-Man, I never was a fan of the character in the comics. I think he's a stupid superhero. You know, he gets to communicate with ants, and he can go small, he can go big. I never wanted to see him as part of the Avengers and to get a movie in the MCU. But it was done well, I would say. But it's a movie, too, that I'd never really want to see again, to be honest with you. But I am going to give it to Ant-Man since you guys agreed, but I would have given it to X-Men, too. I want to remind you, too, that I will veto from time to time. I'm saving.
No, there's no veto.
No, there's no threatening here with the veto. Doesn't go that way.
I have absolute power. All right. X-Men 2 goes away. All right, next one here. So let's see here. Boys and girls. Ew.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Okay.
You guys better, well, actually, this one's actually pretty easy, I think.
Iron Man 2.
Fedra.
Well,
it should be interesting, actually, for Fedra. So I have no idea what you're going to say.
You know, I didn't really like Iron Man 2. I do love Iron Man, though. And I would rather see Iron Man than Tom Holland most of the time. But if I had to sit down and had the choice of watching Iron Man 2 all over again or Spider-Man, I'm going to choose Spider-Man.
All right. Jack?
I thought No Way Home was a lot of fun. And as we've done rankings before, Iron Man 2 is near the bottom of the list. So Spider-Man for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me. I probably would prefer watching Spider-Man No Way Home than Iron Man 2. One of the biggest faux pas that Iron Man 2 ever did was it introduced Don Cheadle as War Machine. Let's not forget that.
I don't think he would allow us to, Joe.
That's true. Thank God he wasn't in Spider-Man No Way Home. Then I'd be really confused. Like I said, I saw Spider-Man No Way Home twice, and I think it's okay. I'm on Fedra's camp, basically. I think it's overblown. It's just the whole nostalgia of having three Spider-Mans together and the Spider-Man villains from different universes. But overall, the story just sucks. There's nothing to it. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like Zendaya. But I'm going to go with you guys. Pick Spider-Man No Way Home because Iron Man 2 is one of the worst of the MCU movies. It could have been better. All right, next one. Can you see that, guys?
Doctor Strange.
We'll see.
Avengers Infinity War. Oh, come on. Do we need to even ask the question?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get the upsets like this, like with the random draw. Imagine if it was Infinity War versus Endgame, right out of that. Oh,
man.
Well, that could still happen.
Well, not right now.
No. Does anybody want to say anything?
This will be quick, I think.
Yeah, I think this will be very quick.
All right, so Jack.
Infinity War.
Fedra.
Infinity War.
Yeah, this is the first time we've been in agreement. No, actually Guardians of the Galaxy was. But yeah, Infinity War is definitely up, I would say, my top three or five. One of the best Marvel movies ever made. And Doctor Strange is a good Doctor Strange origin movie, but it's not my favorite Marvel movie. Okay, here comes another one.
Iron Man.
Okay.
Ooh.
Iron Man 3.
Jack.
Okay. I think this could be a little bit of a debate. While Iron Man is the one that started it all, I really liked Iron Man 3. Out of the two of them, if I had to rewatch, I would rewatch Iron Man 3 because the whole buddy movie and the twist with Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. And we got to see just every imaginable kind of Iron Man suit in a good fun scene. I have to go Iron Man 3.
All right.
Fedra? I'm probably going to get outvoted on this one.
Fedra?
Yeah, because I'm going toward the first for the very same reason. If I could watch either one, I would still want to see how it all began.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Fedra. You're right, Jack. The problem with Iron Man 3 is there's not enough Iron Man in it. You know, it's mostly a Tony Stark movie.
But he is Iron Man.
But after three movies, we should see more Iron Man. Not when I say more Iron Man, I don't mean Iron Men, which they did. I didn't like the fact that he was remote controlling a lot of scenes without him in the suit. I felt that was a little bit of laziness. He's a good actor. You know, it's a good movie. But Iron Man, you know, set the precedent and he was great in it. And I would much rather see the first Iron Man than Iron Man 3 again. Although I would rather see both of them than Iron Man 2. All right, we're almost done. We got only two more here, guys. Dum, 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 dum.
Captain Marvel.
Ooh.
Black Widow. And
Black Widow.
Jack. Yeah, that is a tough one.
That is a tough one because even though they're the two female leads, it comes down to story. And while I enjoyed Black Widow an awful lot, Captain Marvel introduced a lot of stuff into the MCU going forward, where Black Widow was more of a supportive story to the rest of the MCU. It was sort of like, hey, this is where she came from versus like, hey, here's where the MCU is going to be going. I'm going to use a Fedra pass here. I'm going to switch it over to her to pick it first.
Fedra, you got that pass?
Well, you know, he really actually switched me over a little bit. At first, I was thinking Black Widow because, you know, it really felt like an overall film about, you know, her, the character itself, and not really scattering that much. It was just telling the origin story, and that's it. Whereas I feel like with Captain Marvel, there was this whole elaborate, you know, detective story about her, but then there was more to it of how she becomes literally the first Avenger. So, I mean, story-wise, I mean, hands down, I would go that way with Jack, but I'm kind of torn because, you know, for overall just action-packed, funny, depressing, and dramatic, I mean, I would go for Black Widow just having everything. So, whereas I feel like with Marvel. It was just a standard, you know, introducing of the hero type of film. So, God, I'm really torn. I don't know. What do you think, Joe? Maybe you'll figure it out for us.
So I like the Black Widow movie. I thought it was okay, but I've always said this. I felt it was unnecessary. I felt like Disney was again virtual signaling, and they're like, oh, we have to give Scarlett Johansson her own movie and give her $20 million and whatever else she wants because, you know, we're pro-woman, you know, because there's too many men that are getting high-paid dollars and all that. But I would have never given greenlit a Black Widow movie, but I wouldn't have greenlit an Ant-Man movie, like I said, especially since she's dead. It's like, why would you? We don't need to see a prequel of her. But it wasn't a bad movie. I was surprised. I was expecting it to be worse. The villain wasn't that great. I don't like that they changed the Taskmaster's gender. But it was fun. You know, it was okay. Captain Marvel, my issue with Captain Marvel was I don't like that they changed the origin story with Captain, the actual Marvel. You know, Marvel, they changed the gender, where he was a pretty cool superhero in the comics. And this was like a nothing character in this, played by Annette Bening. And, you know, they did this whole crap where it's like, we can't have a female superhero get her powers from a male. It's just wrong. And I don't like when they do crap like that. However, I'm going to give it to Captain Marvel because I think that she is more important right now going forward in the MCU. I think she's a better character. Well, that's tough. Black Widow was great. You know, I would say for most of the movies that she appeared in. I especially loved her in Avengers. I thought she was great in that. And she was good in Infinity War. I don't know if I had to, it's almost like I'm choosing which hero I want. And I guess I kind of want Captain Marvel. I would revisit Captain Marvel before I revisit the movie Black Widow. So I'm going to go with Captain Marvel. Jack, you had enough time to think.
All right. I've had enough time. I think Captain Marvel as well.
Okay, and Frederick?
And I say that because, like you said, the point of revisiting, I've watched Captain Marvel a few times. I've only watched Black Widow once, so that's why I would say Captain Marvel.
I think I will agree with you guys just because of just that. Like, I've seen both of them once, and I would revisit Captain Marvel more before I revisit Black Widow.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, again, Black Widow is a good movie, and she's a great character in the comics. I love her in the comics, and especially when she's with Daredevil. But if I got to choose between a character that's got superpowers and one that doesn't, I'm going to choose the superpowered one. So, Captain Marvel, you won this round. All right, this is our last one here. So, this might be different, Fedra.
Thor.
Oh.
Spider-Man 2.
I kind of know where you're going to go, Fedra. Maybe. I don't even know where I'm going to go on this one, to be honest with you. So I'm going to go with you, Fedra, because I think I know where you're going.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with Thor. Spider-Man 2 was all right, but I feel like there was a lot more going on and a lot better storytelling in Thor, personally. Spider-Man 2, I felt like there was still this roller coaster and still a lot of drama that we don't need that was played over and over in Spider-Man, so I'm going to go with Thor.
See, now you shocked me. I thought you were going to go with Spider-Man 2 because I remember you saying you weren't crazy about Thor.
Well, I mean, now that I'm thinking about, you know, this film and Ragnarok versus Spider-Man. Now, if you were saying just Spider-Man the original and not Spider-Man 2, that's a different story.
Okay. All right, Jack. Kind of, I think I know where you're going.
You know where it's going. Thor is one of my favorite MCU movies. In the comics, he's one of my favorite characters, even though they've kind of gone kind of weird with him lately in the comics. But Thor is one of my favorite characters. I loved him going through his character growth and Loki going in the opposite way. It's a smaller movie in some ways than other ones, where it's a smaller story, but I think it's a very intimate story. And Anthony Hopkins in that scene where he banishes Thor is just,
yeah,
is just incredible.
You're selling me, Jack.
I'm telling you. I mean, because, you know, in the comics, Odin is always a jerk to his son. And in that, you see Anthony Hopkins where he's just so angry and he knows he has to punish his son majorly. And he doesn't want to do it, but he has to do it. And he goes through with it. But the way that whole scene, the way it's the dialogue is written, the timing between the characters, that is excellent. The part where it looks like Thor is beaten, he's going to die, and the hammer comes to life. Like, that is one of those moments that catches my breath, just like Avengers Assemble in Endgame. It's just like, you know. So yeah, Thor it's got to be Thor. Spider-Man 2 is one of the better superhero sequels. However, it's kind of dated. It has the same problem for me with the Sony Spider-Man movies, where I just not crazy about the Spider-Man costume. Even though Al Molina is great as Doc Ock, overall, though, it's Thor all the way.
Yeah, I'll say with Thor, they really had to get him right, and they did. You know, they did a great job. Was it Kenneth Branagh directed mm-hmm. it? I'm glad they cast Chris Hemsworth. I was skeptical when I knew he was Captain Kirk's father in the Star Trek movie. He looked too skinny to play Thor, but he bulked up for sure, and he grew his hair out and a beard, and he looked pretty damn good. I was worried about his costume. I wanted a helmet, but I was fine. He looked pretty good. The costume and the cape looked great. Mjolnir looked great. Loki was great. Like you said, Odin was great. Frigga was great. Jane Foster. Darcy was kind of funny in this one. You know, she wasn't as annoying in the second one. My problem with this movie is the New Mexico scenes. I kind of think at times they were a little boring, and I didn't like that he lost his powers as long as he did. I wish he was more of Thor than he was powerless Thor. Spider-Man 2 to me is one of the greatest superhero movies ever made. I watched it recently and it still holds up for me. Like you said, Alfred Molina was great as Doc Ock. Tobey Maguire really does a good job now that he's more of a seasoned Spider-Man in this one. You got old Aunt May, my favorite kind of Aunt May. you got that scene on the train with the two of them fighting, and on the clock tower, it looks right out of a comic book. There's just so many great things in it that I just so enjoyed this movie thoroughly. It was really good. I would have gone with Spider-Man 2. It would have been tough, but I would have gone with Spider-Man 2. But I couldn't understand you guys going with Thor, so we'll go with Thor. So that's it. you know, basically, so we got going into the next round. We got Thor. We got Captain Marvel. We got Infinity War. We got Ant-Man. We got Spider-Man No Way Home. We've got Thor Ragnarok, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Iron Man. So that is the winner of the first round, first six. This is six. No, it's eight.
You gave a woohoo.
Yeah, so next week we'll do another 16, and then the winners of that will go on to face these winners. And yeah, so far it's tough, but I think it's fair. Alrighty. So I guess that's it. Let's wrap this one up. So Jack, can you tell everyone where you can, where they can find you?
You can send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra.
You can be a friend with me on Facebook or Instagram, and you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a patron supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 11. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.